I have seen very few people in my life who claim as many visions, revelations, trips to heaven, trips to hell, encounters with angels, poking angels, laughing with Jesus, cuddling with Jesus, playing with God's beard, this kind of stuff, which Micah Turnbow does in fact claim. He claims it quite a lot. He claims it in many, many countless hours of videos that are online, reaching hundreds of thousands of views. He's reached certainly millions and millions of people through the online stuff he's done, but he's not just online. Micah Turnbow is a pastor at a Vineyard church. This surprises me because of my experience and understanding of Vineyard churches. I just was not expecting that. I did call the church. I spoke with the lead pastor there, and they're looking into it. I don't know what will happen next. I have no judgment to cast upon what they'll do because I don't know what they'll do next. But I voiced my concerns and consider the following video me continuing to voice those concerns, not because I'm the police of the internet, but we have to judge things. We have to test things. We do have to consider these things. And the charismatic church in particular needs to reenact the gift of discernment, or we're going to be in a lot of trouble. So this is a little compilation of a few things so you can get a flavor of Micah Turnbow. Then I'm going to look through a whole bunch of stuff he has taught, and we will consider it more thoroughly. And I hope that this video brings back the concept of common sense in the process of discernment, because that is something that is not allowed, especially if you are part of the Bethel circles.
Every Easter, the Lord will take me to hell. Not my choice. He wants to do it, and I don't like it. The Lord allowed me to sit in front of demons and ask them questions. I'm with God, you know, the Father on his lap, and my hands are, I love his beard. I love his beard. I put my hands in his beard. No, God goes for walks. He walks around. You know, he has like favorite things. Like, God loves spicy and salty food. Jesus has the sweet tooth. You can touch God the Father. I know what he feels like. I know what his hands feel like. He has hands, he has feet. And then he took me back in time to where I watched him form Adam out of the dirt. And then he took the rib and he formed woman. But I've talked to Abraham Lincoln before.
Yeah. That is not a compilation of the craziest stuff I've heard. Okay, it is not a compilation of the most wild things ever. This is just standard, normal stuff for Micah Turnbow. And so I'm going to be going through them in detail, a lot of things. Let's just start with scripture. Okay, Colossians 2:18 says the following. Let no one disqualify you, insisting on asceticism and worship of angels. Now, does Micah advocate for worshiping angels? No, I don't think he does. But I do think he does something else, which seems to be a symptom of a unreasonable, sensuous person, which is he goes on in detail about visions puffed up without reason by a sensuous mind. That I think is the case. Now, I'm going to build a case for it. I'm going to offer this to you because of his public ministry, not because of something he does in private, not because I just like grabbing people randomly and doing this, but because I believe the church needs it. I think that this idea of going on and on about details of visions, that is a red flag. Okay, Paul doesn't do this. He's very hesitant to talk about his visions. When you read about it in 1 Corinthians, he's very hesitant. He's very self-aware. He's very concerned about talking about these things. He distances himself from it in different ways. That is not the case with Micah or many others who go around about all their visions. Brian Simmons goes around talking about all of his visions, that sort of thing. There's other scripture I'll share with you before we launch into the analysis of all sorts of things that he has taught. And it's Jeremiah 23. This is God speaking about the false prophets in Jeremiah's day. He's not talking directly about Micah, but we learn something here, okay, that does apply to how we assess and discern visions, prophecies, things like that today. He says, "Do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you, filling you with vain hopes. They speak visions of their own minds, not from the mouth of the Lord." This concept blew me away when I read Jeremiah. I mean, it was years and years ago, but when I read it and thought, oh, I always thought prophecy or something would either come from God or from Satan. It didn't occur to me that it might come from just my own mind, that it could be perhaps a result of some sort of mental illness or the result of some sort of wishful thinking, some sort of mistaking your imagination, this is a big one, for the voice of God, which is something that is systematically taught in some of the charismatic circles and has to be undone. This needs to end. I believe in, forgive me, I'm coming on strong here, but that's because there's so much going on right now that needs to be addressed. But Jeremiah 23:21, God says of these prophets, I did not send the prophets, yet they ran. I did not speak to them, yet they prophesied. Now, is he talking about Micah here? He's talking about the Jeremiah's prophets. I'm not going to misuse scripture here. But there is such a thing as one who speaks when God did not speak to them, one who runs and God did not send them. That is a thing that happens, and we have to be aware of it. And it comes from their own minds. In verses 25 and 26, he says, I've heard what the prophets have said who prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. This is what they claim, but it's not the case. How long shall there be lies in the heart of the prophets who prophesy lies and prophesy the deceit of their own heart? God doesn't really pull punches. It's not like, well, you got to get prophecy wrong sometimes in order to try to get it right the rest of the time. That's not really the philosophy I see here in scripture. The person who prophesies, and it turns out that it was from their own heart, from their own imagination, from their own desires and wishful thinking, that is actually a lie in the name of God. I think it's deceit, the deceit of your own heart. Just because it's a positive lie, it doesn't make it okay. And that's the parallel with Jeremiah. Jeremiah's false prophets were giving very good news, loving, God loves you, God's going to protect you, Jerusalem, God's going to restore you, God is for you, God would never turn his back on you, he wouldn't let anything bad happen to you. That was the kind of prophecy. And that is kind of the biblical background for, I think, assessing these things. Let's go to the first of many clips I will show with you, a bunch of stuff. Oh man, the rabbit hole keeps getting deeper the further we go. Here's the first.
I always had a love for the spiritual world. I could always see into the spiritual world. I would also see them like colors, like little balls of ribbons of light that would just move around people. Me and my brother,
would
play with the angels. We would have our Transformer toys out. I would say to Lucas, let's turn off the lights and let's see if the angels come. It was easier to see them when there were no lights on in the room because they would be bright. And then
So this person who's interviewing is doing like a Sid Roth type thing, if you guys are familiar with that. Not good show. This is like a AI reenactment of what he's describing. So him and his brother would play and he would see the angels, and then his brother would like to try to collect the feathers of the angels. This is what he says happened as a kid. Am I saying it's impossible? No. But when you add all this together with everything else he says, it's obviously made up.
Flash, whoa, beautiful spark of light. We go whoop, like that. And I say, look, there's one. And there would be another one, and it just start flashing our rooms, these lights. And then when we turned the light back on, the room was covered in these beautiful feathers. And so my brother started collecting, angel feathers. Now, sometimes they were just...
Now, just so you guys know, I actually have someone who sent me a feather they collected at Bethel. They believed that this is not related to Micah. They believed that this feather was, at the time, you know, from an angel. And I'm going to be getting that sent to a lab for testing. I'll report back to you later what we found. Of course, this is not foolproof because they could simply say, well, that one wasn't maybe an angelic feather, but there's others that are. It's sort of an indefeatable proposition in that case.
Bird feathers. But it was just so much fun, you know, and that's like where I started, you know, with playing with Jesus, playing with the spiritual realm.
So he starts by just playing with Jesus. That's the description he gives. And he really never stops this very lighthearted attitude. Now, he'll talk about angels fighting and even killing other beings, blood, large amounts of blood, things like he will talk about that stuff. But generally speaking, Micah will have a very lighthearted, childish perspective on angels. And it's not, I shouldn't say that. It's not just his perspective. You will find as we look at his visions, as we look at his supposed experiences, he has a infantilization of angels, of Jesus, of God the Father, and of the spiritual things of heaven itself. It's very much as though the reality of heaven is itself childish, not faith being childlike, but heaven itself being childish and Jesus being that way too, it seems. But let's look at more. Now he's going to talk about angels on his bed.
Sit on my bed, and I would get like, oh, you know, just kind of startled because they were like full figured, like a person, not just light. And they would sit on my bed and just sit there. And then I would be nervous, and then they would look at me and they would just say, we're just going to sit here just so you get used to us.
So they sit on his bed. I think I might have missed the first part of that clip. I'll play it.
But when I got older and the angels started talking to me, because before they were just kind of there in my teens, they started talking to me. They would appear and sit on my bed and I would get just kind of startled because they.
So this is part of his sort of preparation. That's how he presents this, right? The angels start sitting on his bed, and the purpose of them doing so is to train him to be more aware of them and more accepting and comfortable with them, because he has to be very comfortable with them. He has a special kind of gifting and calling according to his own experience. Now, a lot of, I've discovered this as I've looked into recently a lot of like Bob Jones and William Branham and Paul Kane and just a whole bunch of these different guys who I would consider to be fake prophets in the charismatic movement. And I'll talk more about that in the future. It's going to take me a while. You know, I do a lot of research, so my videos come out slow. But these guys often have these origin stories. They like to talk about how they were sort of specially set aside as a young child. Now, God can do that, of course. I'm not saying that anybody who has like a origin story with the supernatural thing happening at a young age is lying. I'm just saying there's a pattern here. Don't turn off discernment because you've heard someone tell you that something happened when they were a child. Joseph Smith did the same thing, and it was misleading to people because it works. Now he's going to talk about how he likes to poke angels for fun, but he meets a bladed angel whose body's covered in blades. And all this matters, okay? All this matters because this man is a pastor. This man is a prophetic leader. He actually trains other people in prophecy. He does it online to ultimately millions of people, and he does it locally in his church. So it's important. So bear with me. There's a lot more. He even has teaching that is definitely unbiblical that he says he got from private revelation, I think, which proves it's not true. Plus, he also has stories of visions in some cases that contradict, that prove that he's making stuff up. That'll come towards the end. I'll share that. His yogurt story. Anyway, here's the bladed angel.
I was at the park in downtown Cincinnati. There were a lot of kids around. This angel was huge. I mean, 13 feet tall. He was made out of knives, blades of knives. If there were demons that approached, and now this honest truth, behind, around him, there would be, let's just say, body parts of demons that he had dismantled. Because he was protecting the kids.
So this angel is violent, yeah, but not towards kids, but he's fighting off demons. I don't know what kind of trauma this would do to you if you were a child hearing this story. Then you're thinking, I'm playing and there's demons trying to attack me and there's bladed angels slicing them into pieces. And this is the vision you're getting of life. And it played with like pretty music, but what he's describing is horrific and scary and terrifying. And if in fact it's just him imagining things, then this is inappropriate. I would be concerned for a young person who's continually subjected to Micah's teachings on these things. I'd be very, very concerned, well, any age for that matter. But now he'll talk about how he likes to poke angels for fun. This is his normal practice. He pokes them and they giggle and he tries to get them to smile because he comes off like he's very lighthearted. And I don't think it's necessarily that he's completely not genuine. In fact, Micah, if you watch this, I know you said in a recent video, you don't watch any of the videos. You look at the thumbnail or title of a video from a critic, and that's all you look at, and you make a judgment call based on that. And so maybe you won't watch this. I'm expecting you not to based upon your own policy. If you do watch this, I think you need to talk to someone you respect who can tell you that there's danger ahead for you. There's danger behind, there's danger ahead, and you're a danger to others. And I don't know any other way to say this. There's visions of your own head that you think you can make them safe by trying to make them as biblical as you can, but you go off the rails, man. You're way off the rails. This video is going to show it. All right, this is him poking angels.
And this is the honest truth. I had this thing where me and the angels, we would play and I would poke them. I still do this to this day. If I meet an angel that I haven't met before, I will poke them. I will go up to them and I would poke them just to see if I could get them to smile if they're a little bit more stoic.
This is his habit. I'm just going to poke the angels. That's my intention. He then goes on to talk about with this bladed angel how he couldn't poke it. And so what he did instead was he walked up to it, but the angel could read his mind. So it knew that he wanted to poke it. And the angel, he couldn't because the blades. So the angel just sort of smiled at him. And then he knew that the angel was a nice angel. He likes to discuss these things. He likes to talk about stuff like Michael the Archangel is really stern, but Michael the Archangel loves children. And so if you bring up children or show him children, he'll smile and it will soften his sternness. This is the infantilization of spiritual things. We don't see this in scripture. This isn't just Micah interpreting his sort of getting a specialized version of his experience of spiritual things so he can understand it because he's such a childlike, wonderful person. I don't think any of that's possibly true. I think what's reasonable to say, engage common sense. Here's a man taking spiritual things and trying to infantilize them, make them like childish in a way that makes them enjoyable to him. Part of his sort of wonderful experiences that he can tell others about, but it's just not true. Now, some of this stuff he prophesies. He does make prophecies. And this is a prophecy of what I'm going to share with you now about having angels on your worship team and church greeters and children's ministry. keep in mind, I know to some it's going to sound like, Mike, you're coming on strong. Here's a man, as nice sounding as he is, who is going out to the world, worldwide ministry, and is telling people things that are not true in the name of God. God calls that lying when you share prophecies that aren't really from him. It's not an oopsie. You lied in the name of God. That's a big deal. Visions that he didn't give, God's not okay with that, even if they're positive, even if they're childlike. So here's a prophecy.
And I remember the Lord told me that. He said, Micah, it's going to become common. Angelic ministry in the normal life is going to be common because it needs to be because of what the Lord is intensifying on the earth. It's going to be normal for us to see angels, part of the worship team, part of the greeters team, part working in children's church, and people are just going to see them. I believe that's coming. It won't be like a rare thing to see an angel and then not see him anymore, but see them all the time and them being part of the family.
I have heard hours and hours of Micah's stuff. I've tried to like wrap my head around it. This is actually one of the easier research projects as far as what I'm recently doing, but I have spent many hours on it. And he talks about this stuff all the time, seeing angels, encountering, having conversations with angels, eating food with angels. He does all this stuff, but here he has a prophecy that's really specific. This is coming. It's coming soon. We have to prepare. He talks about the veil getting thin and soon, you know, we're going to be seeing angels. Here he says angels will literally be on your worship team playing instruments. They will be on the greeters team interacting with and talking to people. This is Micah taking, I believe, okay, my interpretation, his hopeful, wishful thinking about his own experiences, which are delusional at best, and thinking everyone's going to get this. This is why he trains up other people to have visions, and so that they'll think, ooh, the paper wiggled. That was wind in the room or air moving in the room. And therefore God's, this is what he says, God's angels, he makes them as winds. Hebrews chapter 1, this is just not what it means. And therefore, when I saw the air current blowing and the paper moved, that was an angel in the room. So he teaches people this so that they'll think there's angelic things going on based upon false indicators. Okay, I believe in angels. Yes, the angelic world, real. But his version of it is not real. That's the thing. Children's ministry. Oh, wow. Okay, so let's talk about trips to heaven.
You said that you have been to heaven.
Yes. You know, I'm brushing my teeth and get swept up into heaven. I have been on the toilet, get caught up into heaven. I have had that happen. I have been playing video games, got caught up into heaven, and my character is defeated on the if I'm playing a fighting game. Just, well, because I went to heaven and they, you know, I left my controller there.
I think that Bethel Church in Redding, California is partly responsible for this. I know that Bethel was an influence, at least for a while, in Micah's own church. And they do the childish thing. This is something that they do, right? Bill Johnson's daughter, this is all public. None of this is private. None of this is gossip. This is public teaching they sent out. They, you know, she'll talk about angels having farting contests. She has discussed this before, and they got embarrassed about it later because people called them out. She's talked about the Holy Spirit's like the genie from Aladdin. He's blue. That sort of thing, this sort of infantilization of spiritual things, it's part and parcel of branches of the ministry that you see in some of the hypercharismatic movements. So seeing it here, I think that we as wise people should see infantilization of spiritual things itself as a red flag. Here's what I'm not saying. I'm not saying Micah says weird stuff, so he's not from the Lord. Ezekiel says weird stuff. The Bible has some strange things and visions and stuff in it, yes, but it's not infantilizations, right? The weightiness of the glory of God, the heaviness of spiritual beings, angels have to show up and say, hey, do not be afraid. They're not like, hey, poke me and see if you can make me smile. It's just not that. You're not sitting on the toilet and poof, caught up to heaven. You're not playing video games and poof, caught up to heaven like it's a laughing, ha-ha little thing. So his trips to heaven, man, he casually and frequently talks about trips to heaven, and he'll mention hell. We'll talk about that later. Paul, again, Paul the Apostle, the biblical example here, he was very hesitant to do so. What about Isaiah? When he was caught up to heaven, he says, I saw the Lord seated on the throne. And he says, oh, I said, woe is me. There is a weightiness to it. There is the glory of God. There is a sense of the disparity between me and my creator. None of that's present in Micah's recounting. It does not seem biblical. It's not just that it's weird. It's that it's, you've taken the teeth out of heaven. You've infantilized God and spiritual things. This is a red flag. Here's more of the same. God likes spicy food. Jesus has a sweet tooth, according to Micah. The Father, that the Father has a body, a spiritual body that's basically like a physical body, and he likes eating spicy food, according to Micah. That sounds like Mormon theology to me.
If people think that God would just be sitting on his throne all the time. No, God goes for walks. He walks around. You know, he has like favorite things. Like, God loves spicy and salty food. Jesus has the sweet tooth.
This is all you have to know to be able to say, hey, there's a red flag here. There's a red flag here. You've taught us something about the nature of God that seems to disagree with the teachings of Scripture. The Father does not have a body, and Michael described him as a large humanoid type body, larger than average, right? So he's very tall, very big. That's exactly how Joseph Smith described the Father. It's the same description. I don't know where he's getting this from. I don't think it's from the Lord in any way, shape, or form, but Micah wants to picture himself touching God's hands and sitting on God's lap and stuff. Yes, there's visionary experiences where God appears in a type of form. He's usually not described, the Father, or, you know, he's on the throne, but we just get the train of his robe described, but not him physically, that kind of thing, because the Bible's very cautious about this sort of thing. The care with which the Bible teaches us the omnipresence of God and his transcendence above all things is he's not sort of confined to a body that inhabits space. Jesus had to become incarnate to take on a human form in order to have that sort of physicality. I don't even need, do I really need to teach this to you? I'll move on. What is the next one? It is about speaking of Jesus liking sweet food. It says here that Micah visits a school in heaven and they bake cookies for Jesus and he comes and eats them and everybody's really excited. And it's just going to get weirder as we keep going.
I remember going to a school where all the kids were learning because, you know, you still learn in heaven. You just learn quickly. You don't have any opposition. And kids were learning up in heaven. And some of them are taught by angels. Some of them are taught by people who are teachers. And I'm inside the school and I'm playing with the kids. And then the angel says, okay, Jesus is coming. And the kids are like, yeah. And so they get trays of cookies. And Jesus walks in and the kids are going around Jesus and he gives them kisses and then they give him a cookie and Jesus eats the cookie. He's just eating all these different cookies that these kids baked for him.
This, I could feel right now, somebody listening is thinking, Mike, it's reasonable to think that you can learn in heaven. And I would agree. It is reasonable to think you could learn in heaven. You're right. But that's not what the complaint or the issue is here, is it? It's the infantilization of heaven. The idea that there's a school that children walk around with like these physical, it seems, bodies before we have the resurrection even happening yet for any of us. And they're baking cookies. So there's these physical cookies in heaven and they're bringing them to Jesus and he's eating cookies in heaven that are baked by these. And he gives kisses to the kids. This is obviously made up in the mind of a man who has probably some of his own psychological issues going on with whatever. Okay, there's a lot more that could be said about that. Micah does at times talk about some of his own issues there. And I think that this is the expression of trying to work out the catharsis of his own heart into false visions of heaven. Let me say that again. Trying to work out the catharsis that he wants for his own heart by imagining things in heaven that will bring him that sense of catharsis because there's something deeply unsettled inside. He also says he knows what God feels like, and God has a sparkly beard, and he likes to play with it.
You can touch God the Father. I know what he feels like. I know what his hands feel like. He has hands, he has feet, he has a robe, and you know, he's got a beard, he's got hair, his eyes are beautiful. I mean, his eyes are beautiful. You know when people get the sparkles on them? Mm-hmm. The gold dust or sparkles, mm-hmm. It's because when God leans in to give you a kiss, the sparkles are in his beard. His beard sparkles.
What?
Let me just pause and I'll play the rest of this clip in a second. But the reason why he says, you know how people get sparkles? And she's like, yes, if you're not familiar with this, it's in charismatic circles. The idea that gold dust, in fact, I've got some on my desk right here. I won't show you the address, but someone sent me some gold dust they collected at an event that like Bethel Leadership was at and others in that same movement. And the gold dust or gold glitter will sometimes, they claim, manifest in their meetings. Okay, now that could, God could do that. But it's become something that's sort of known. Now, a number of people have been caught faking this. But I'm going to send that to a lab and have it tested. Yeah, I've got a lot of stuff I'm doing right now. And now anybody who's offended by that, I want you to know that if it's authentic, that will only help validate it. And if it's fake, why would you want to defend something fake? Like, it's a win-win. Testing is a win-win situation. It is. But anyways, there's lots of people in the more strongly charismatic circles who will know the gold dust stuff. Now, Micah has a theological explanation of how you get gold dust on you. How when you're in a meeting and suddenly there's gold dust, he knows how that happens. That's what he's explaining. It comes from the beard of the Father.
And it gets on your skin. And so when people say, I get gold dust or I get sparkles, I mean, I always say, well, God gave you a kiss. So people are sparkly. Everybody in heaven, all the people in heaven are sparkly. They shine, they're sparkly. It's because they are so close to the Father.
God's like rubbing his face on everybody. The Father is. He's a vineyard pastor. I'm surprised, okay? I know that the defense against this will be that he's so sincere. And if you just knew Micah, he's such a genuine, loving man. And I'd never said he wasn't genuine or loving. He's delusional. I never said he didn't have a kind, incredibly kind attitude. Or if he doesn't believe all his own visions, perhaps, maybe he does, maybe he doesn't. Because when later on I show you that he's actually changing his story on some of these visions, now I'm wondering, okay, are you even believing these things? Or is this like a game to you that you just don't care? You're so calloused about lying that you don't care. I don't know. I don't rule that out anymore. I used to think, no, they wouldn't just boldly lie. These guys wouldn't just boldly lie. But I found too many that are boldly lying. So now I worry that I was too gracious in the past to guys like Todd White, of all people, who I thought, no, he seems sincere. Whatever else is going on, it does seem sincere. I no longer believe that. Not at all. I was wrong. I was gullibly sucked into his apparent sincerity and kindness. Not true. So as has been proven, very, very clearly proven. So God's sparkly beard. Now let's talk about how he likes to sit on God's lap and he likes to play with his beard. Yeah.
I remember the Father, I was sitting on his... on his lap, and some people get mad about that, but I tell them, once you sit on God's lap, you and I will talk again and it'll be fine. I'm with God, you know, the Father on his lap, and my hands are, I love his beard. I love his beard. I'll put my hands in his beard.
He likes to put his hands in his beard and play. That's weird. But it's not just weird. Lots of things are weird in life. There's a lack of maturity and seriousness in his attitude towards God. Moreover, it's obvious he's making stuff up. That is this, it's okay to have common sense in the evaluation of prophecy. That's allowed. I think that's okay. And when you can compile one after another, after another, after another of obviously made up claims, what you have is an obviously fake prophet. No matter how nice he is, no matter how good it sounds, it's obviously fake, and the church has to be warned, and it's the job of the leadership of this church to evaluate, to call out, and to deal with Micah, lest you share in his sins. And there, when he was sitting on God's lap, according to Micah, God told him something that is a wicked distortion of Scripture. This is one of the areas where Micah is teaching false theology.
I created you for interaction with me. He said, before I even formed you, before you were formed in your mother's womb, you knew me. You knew my voice. You saw my face. And I'm like, wow.
God told him while he was sitting on his lap playing with his beard, this is in that same clip, that before Micah was born, he says, you knew me. Micah knew God. That's what he said. What does the actual scripture say? I mean, he's sort of quoting Jeremiah 1:5, where God says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Micah changed it to, you knew me. Let me play that clip one more time so you can hear it, because this is a pre-existence theology that he actually does have. I've heard other clips of him. I didn't grab every clip, but I've heard other clips from Micah where he talks about how when your parents are together, you know, they have intercourse and then they produce a child, there's like a body and a soul, and the spirit comes out of heaven from the presence of God, from God's like lap effectively, and then he comes and is attached to the body, so that the spirit is pre-existent before the child is born. This again is Mormon theology. Like, is this guy secretly believing some Mormon theology here? Pre-existence of souls, God's physical body, a spiritual physical body. It's confusing, I know, but that is the Mormon theology. Let's listen to that clip one more time, because this is actual false theology, claiming he got it from a direct revelation while sitting on God's lap.
I created you for interaction with me. He said, before I even formed you, before you were formed in your mother's womb, you knew me. You knew my voice. You saw my face. And I'm like, wow.
Okay, so that's he's a false prophet. Like, there's no way around it. I don't know of a way around this. He's just so nice that it makes you feel mean to say it. But you're actually mean if you don't, in reality. So the next thing I would just share is him talking about demons. And see what you think about this.
I remember waking up in the middle of the night, and there were these demons over me trying to, like, whisper. And I was afraid. Vroom. Jesus appeared in that womb in the room, and his body was fire. I mean, just fire. And the demons were freaking out. Jesus's power was causing the very skin or the framework of the demons to boil. And he took his hands above his head and he began to spin fire around. And it began to burn the demons, burning the demons. And they were dropping, because my room was full of demons. They were just dropping and running away.
This is obviously made up. The self-aggrandizement of thinking, I woke up in my room, and there, what do you know? Jesus is physically right there in my room, right? Demons are all around. Jesus does this cool thing. I'm pretty sure I saw it in Harry Potter. You know, he's swinging his arms around, and the fire comes, and this is obviously made up. Now, you may want to give him the benefit of the doubt, right? But that benefit of doubt can cause harm, because it can elevate someone who's delusional to their own harm and the harm of those who follow them, as has happened countless times, especially in the charismatic church. I believe that you may have an impact. Pray for, I actively pray for God to give words of prophecy, healing, these types of things. But if you do not have discernment along with those things, you are going to be the plaything of the enemy, and you're going to be constantly bringing your whole ministries into train wrecks down the road. It'll go excitement, building, expectation, train wreck, repeat as desired. This is just going to keep happening over and over again. So we have to have accountability here. Let's talk about time travel. And he does claim he has literally traveled in time. It's not just having visions about the past. He says many times in many videos that he travels in time.
He created beauty, and then he took me back in time to where I watched him form Adam out of the dirt, and then he took the rib and he formed woman.
Which means that he was watching Adam and Eve naked. That's what that means, that Micah claims that he saw Adam and Eve nude, Adam lying unconscious, asleep on the ground nude, the forming of Eve naked, being brought to Adam naked, and Micah's right there when it happens back in time, watching it play out, because he's that special. This, though Micah comes off as a very humble guy, there's no humility whatsoever here. This is such self-aggrandizement. It's crazy. And we should recognize it for what it is. Now let's talk about him seeing famous people in heaven. Here's a little compilation of some of the famous people Micah claims that he's seen in heaven.
Is there any person in the Bible who you've seen in heaven?
Yes, I've seen Moses, the Apostle Paul, John the Baptist. I've seen some of the presidents.
Who? Wait, okay. Which president have you seen, Micah?
I've seen a lot of them from a distance, but I've talked to Abraham Lincoln before. Martin Luther King, I've seen him in heaven. I saw George Washington there.
Ronald Reagan?
Yes, him. And Roosevelt guy.
Theodore Roosevelt?
Yes, I saw him there. So I saw King David. I saw Solomon. I saw other kings.
You saw Solomon? I was going to ask you that. You did see Solomon?
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Yeah, because some people are like, maybe he didn't make it because of his sins and stuff. So he's like, no, he's there. Micah also teaches Judas is in heaven. He teaches that as well. I don't even think I don't have a clip on that. He teaches, you have no idea. There's just, throw a rock and you've got a vision and a teaching and something that's not from scripture that Micah has learned through his special revelations. Absolutely. He just put a video out a few days ago on Facebook where he says, I never elevate my revelations above scripture. You sort of do in practicality because you have teachings that you have based upon your revelations that contradict scripture. And so that's effectively the same thing. It's obvious what it is. Now he's going to talk about them doing a chariot race in heaven and how Micah wants to witness and watch the chariot race in heaven. It's just more infantilization.
I was walking through heaven with an angel, and there was a chariot race going on. And Jesus was in the chariot race, and there are these chariots going across the sky. And I was like, is that David? And David was, they were chariot racing in the sky, and Jesus was part of the race.
This is what he thinks. Jesus is part of a chariot race in heaven. Now, some of you are thinking, Mike, I don't even need you to explain this to me. I got it. Move on. And others are thinking, that could happen, Mike. It could be. And this is why I have to include the sections where he's actually saying something that literally contradicts the Bible, because you won't engage your reasonable doubt until you've seen that he's actually directly contradicted scripture. And so I've showed you that, but there's going to be more on that as well. But with the pre-existence thing, absolutely contradicting scripture, the weird stuff. But there's more. Here's the dragon stories. Micah believes in dragons. There's good dragons and bad dragons, and not just an image in Revelation, picture of a dragon who represents Satan. He's not an actual dragon, but Micah believes in real dragons.
There's not just angels and demons. There's more entities.
Yeah, there's dragons. I've seen dragons in the spiritual realm. So there's some dragons that are bad, and there's some that do serve the Lord. And I look up in the sky. I'm on the highway, and I'm watching these demonic beings coming out of the sky, half women, half birds, very disgusting looking, and claws. And they.
So like, these are harpies, right? This is like Greek mythology stuff. He's saying those are real.
And then breaking out of the sky came this beautiful white and gold dragon. On top of it was an angel. For the angel was standing on the head of the dragon, holding its horns, and the angel.
Now, keep in mind, Micah's not getting a vision of like a representation of something that's happening in the spiritual realm. He's seeing what's happening in the spiritual realm as he's going down the street. He just sees these things in the sky. He sees it with his own eyes. He says in other places many times that these are the things that are really happening. They're not just visions that represent things that really happen.
It was steering the dragon, and the dragon opened its mouth, and white glorious fire came out and just burned all the demons.
In the next one, we'll learn about him having a book to teach children what heaven is like. Why is this important? Micah is not some guy wildly imagining things in his bedroom. He is a man who is a pastor at a vineyard church. He has a prophetic ministry where he teaches other people how to prophesy. He goes on podcasts. He's been interviewed many, many times. Some interviews having 700,000-800,000 views as far as the ones I saw. And this is his book for children. He's teaching children.
So Micah, and also you have books. You've written some books. One is a children's book.
So I have a children's book that I just released this year called City of Kings. And it's literally about heaven and how I went to heaven and got taught by children about heaven.
This is the book, City of Kings. That's supposed to be him. He gets to ride on a winged horse, and the children are there, and they teach him about heaven. And Micah uses that to teach your children about heaven. And he says in the book, like, hey, this is real. This is really what happened. This isn't just a story. Micah also, I hate to do this stuff. There's something creepy going on. Micah frequently, this became a red flag to me. He frequently in his interviews talks about how beautiful people are, usually men. And males, right? Jesus is beautiful. The Father's beautiful. Michael, the Archangel, is beautiful. Solomon's beautiful. David was beautiful. They're all very, very, very beautiful. Adam and Eve are beautiful, gorgeous. And I started to look into this a little more deeply, and I found out some stuff that I think is concerning, and I'm just gonna share it.
You can touch God the Father. I know what he feels like. I know what his hands feel like. He has hands, he has feet. Eyes are beautiful. I mean, his eyes are beautiful. Solomon is beautiful. He's very handsome. And Jesus is very handsome, stunning, handsome, stunning, beautiful, strong. So Adam and Eve, they were beautiful. I mean, just
So
beautiful.
good-looking people.
Good-looking people. Michael's beautiful.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Talks a lot about this. And in doing this, oh man, so let me share some stuff he said. This is from his website where he talks about his relationship with Jesus and how intimate it is. This is public teaching, okay? This is not some private thing. I share this response to it because it's so public. He says, "I gently fell into his chest, Jesus, and he held my face close to his lips. He looked into my eyes and his lips touched mine as he spoke. I created man for intimacy," Jesus tells him. "Jesus pulled my head towards him for a gentle kiss, showing me the entire universe in just a few seconds. Again, as Jesus pulled my lips away from him, they were moist." This is nasty. This is inappropriate. He says, "I put my hands around Jesus's hips and laid my head on his chest." Here's more from his blog. "Jesus gracefully pulled me away so I would look into his eyes again. Jesus placed his right hand on my face so that I would feel him before everything faded away. I returned to my bed, looking towards the ceiling. My lips were still moist from Jesus's kiss. I ask you, when was the last time you kissed the sun? This encounter is for everyone." Of course, the kiss the sun phrase comes from Psalm 2, and it's about when a king kisses the foot or the ring of another king to say, I obey you. Maybe a cheek kiss in a culture where that's normal for men to do. This is not an intimate lover's kiss type thing. That is inappropriate. That is homosexual. That is sinfully wrong. This is from Micah's Facebook page. He likes to post these pictures, AI pictures that represent him and Jesus. He says, and I quote from his Facebook page, "Behold wonder, Micah Turnbow, behold wonder. The picture I chose was one I've been saving for a while. I hid this because it really shows my life, a prophet and a lover of Jesus. It's vulnerable, intimate, and what has happened to Jesus and me. Some will hate it, but this is where Jesus and I are and what I hope to see in you as we walk into 2025." And then he has they're like hashtags, but there's no hashtag. It says, "Face to face, unashamed, fully his, totally in love." I'm not even done yet. In this other Facebook AI photo that he probably created using AI and then posted, this two men in intimate grasp smiling at each other, like an inch from each other's face. And it says, here, Micah says, "I'm taking a break for a week." Speaking of Jesus, Micah says, "He makes me so happy. I'm looking forward to the personal care I will receive next week. It's been an adjustment for me recently. I want Jesus to hold me, breathe on me, and speak into my ear. But I'm returning to the breath, the kiss, the touch, and leaning upon him. Please pray for me. Pray that I will lean into his breath, kiss, and touch. He alone has the words of life. I will see you guys in a week." This is perversion. This is as red of a flag as you get. Okay, Micah talks about how he struggled with homosexuality in the past and about how he found satisfaction for those desires somehow in his relationship with Jesus. Now, he never, to my knowledge, says anything about something going beyond the things you've already read there. I don't know what else there is there in his own mind. I'm not going to postulate that. I'm going to say what we already know from what he's already said is wrong. But it's not just that. Angels too. Angels also do this stuff. Angels are intimate physically with each other. Intimate, they have sex. Okay, so here's what Micah Turnbow says about angels. He said, this is an angel that, by the way, met Micah and says the following to him. We angels are sexual beings like you are, and it's not odd. He just declares, it's not odd. You can read the rest. You have to expand to read it and stuff. But he also has a post on his Facebook where he says, oh, I guess I just made it bigger here. Yeah, same post. We are angels who do this stuff. It is not odd. Nothing odd about it. Angels, this is weird stuff. There's another video I want to share with you where he talks about his kissing Jesus's feet. This is not sexually intimate, but it is inappropriate. He doesn't usually talk about this stuff in video. He does it more in writing, but here's a something related to what we've already discussed.
I love being at Jesus's feet. I love it so much. I always, you know, get on my face where his feet is and I start to kiss his feet. I literally start kissing his feet. And I remember that Jesus still has holes in his feet, but there's radiant light coming through. And so me being me, I remember looking at his feet, seeing the holes, and I start to take my thumbs and I start to put them over the holes in his feet and watching the light just beam through, you know? And so I'm just doing this on his feet and just laughing. I thought it was so hilarious. You know, I'm just laughing. And then I like take my mouth and I put my mouth over the holes in his feet.
Puts his mouth over the holes in Jesus's feet. Why? He wants to see if the light will shoot through from the holes into his mouth and out of his ears and eyes.
See if the light would go through my mouth and up out of my ears and my head. And it did. It went out of my ears. I'm just playing with him. I'm just playing with Jesus and I'm just loving, you know, I'm just loving his feet. And so then.
Infantilization and also an inappropriate intimacy, inappropriate kind. But Mike, we're the bride of Christ. We collectively are the bride of Christ. You are not Jesus's physical intimate lover. Okay. That's sick.
And I look up at him and he's laughing. Jesus is hysterical. He is just laughing because he thought it was so fun that I was playing with the holes in his feet. I turn to look at him and Jesus is hysterical. He's laughing and his hand is on his.
This again is something Bethel does. They sometimes will encourage the idea that God just gets such a kick out of every little thing about you. It's kind of the implication. It makes you feel good about yourself, but it leads to some strange things.
Is on his heart and he's looking at me, he's laughing. And so I get this idea, this idea just comes into my head. You know, I just said, you know what? I am literally going to crawl into your lap right now. You know, I'm going to crawl into your lap right now. So Jesus's lap. I crawl up into his lap and I lay on the side, on my side, and my.
So he's crawling up like almost like a child. Or the way like you'd have someone you were intimate with, the way that you would do this. It's some combination of both. I mean, he seems to relate to Jesus like in a childlike way, or childish way, I should say, as well as, because childlike faith is good, but childishness is bad. Grow up. The Bible wants us to grow up. Or an intimate, like inappropriate, like almost homosexual way.
I'm curled up. I'm literally curled up and Jesus's arms are around me and he's just holding me, you know, and I'm just like laying there. My head was like right here, snuggled up under his neck, you know, and I'm just like resting there with him, you know, and I could feel him breathing. His chest is rising and lowering, you know, and I'm just relaxed. I'm just with him and, you know, it's just beautiful to do this to Jesus's beard, you know, and just do this to his beard.
Yeah. No. This is not, to my knowledge, this is not secret. Like the church is going to hear, his church will see this video and they'll be offended, a lot of them, I think, at me. Maybe I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong. Will be offended at me as though I'm picking on Mike, as I don't understand how just pure and innocent he was. But you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of the stories of Michael Jackson having young boys sleep in his bed with him. And it was, the statement is, oh, he's too pure for any impure motives. This is all pure. It's just affection and just care. And I'm just saying, it's just wrong. It was just wrong. It's all wrong. This is wrong. It's not okay. You're being gullible if you think that this is okay. This is wrong. And it's not true. He's making this up. This is not true. These aren't real visions. These are visions of his own mind. That's obvious for a number of reasons, quite a number of reasons that we've already shared and more that I'm going to share still. So, angels, male, female, angels, they have sex and angels have kids, according to Micah. This is a contradiction with scripture. Jesus says that in the resurrection, they will neither marry nor be given in marriage, but will be like the angels in heaven, i.e. the angels are not married or given in marriage. They don't have a marriage type relationship. They do not have sex and reproduce. Micah says they do.
Speaking of, of angels, do you have female angels and male angels, or does it not work that way?
You do have female and male angels.
Do angels reproduce with each other? And if so, what's that look like?
They do reproduce. And I started to realize that a few years ago. I was laying in my bed and having, you know, spending time with the Lord, you know, worshiping him. And
I want you to notice before we read more or listen to more, how many things Micah teaches that are not in the Bible that either contradict scripture or are just simply not found anywhere in scripture. As in, he has a lot of teachings that come from his private personal revelations. Many, 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 many teachings. And this is just the tip of the iceberg. Watch one of his videos. You will just get an unceasing amount of new teachings that do not come from scripture. That is a big deal. That raises the stakes for what he's doing and what he's talking about. So, when it comes to the angels sleeping together, angels having kids together, here's how he learned it.
Go up into the spirit. I go up into the heavenly realms. I'm up into this sphere, this dome. I don't really know fully where it was, but there was an angel that came in. He was quite young. Come on. He was saying, come on, just like a kid. Come on. It looked like he was probably about 11 or something. Come.
So about a very young angel. So he's like, oh, how do you get an 11-year-old looking angel?
Come on. And so we end up flying through, and I'm thinking, like, this is really interesting. So I am flying through the air, and then I said, where are we going? And he said, I'm to my father's house. And I'm thinking, well, angels usually don't call God father because he's not their father. So I was like, that's weird. We go to this beautiful, like.
By the way, he's also making this up. It's clear. It's obvious. It's obvious. If it's not obvious to you, my encouragement to you would be that you lack discernment. This is not an insult. It's something to learn and grow from.
Well, it was like a cabin. And I noticed an angel came out of there that I have met before, Uriel. Okay. So then Uriel comes.
Uriel is in intertestamental literature. It's not in scripture, the angel Uriel, but it's in like Jewish legendary type stuff.
I said, your father. And he said, Uriel's my father. I'm his son. And I went, wait a minute. How does this work? And then he looked at me, he said, of course we reproduce. He said, we have to. So that's how I knew that angels were reproducing.
That's how he knew. Of course we reproduce. We have to. See, he thinks angels and demons are actually killing each other, that sometimes angels probably die and then they have to reproduce. They have to make more. But he has other theories about other statements about, you know, he'll talk about some angels are brothers because, and they're related, they're siblings because they were created from the same stone. So God has a stone and he makes like three angels. And so all three of those angels are siblings. And then, you know, when Satan fell, one of them left. And so then one of the siblings miss each other and stuff like that. He goes on and on and on and on and on, just like Colossians suggests is a bad idea. On and on and on about his private visions. Then we have, let me see if I've skipped one of my images here. I think I already share with you. Yeah, I already shared that one with you. Okay. Now we have trips to hell. And when he talks about trips to hell, himself going to hell, he doesn't like it, he says. But when he was there, he saw demons fornicating and procreating.
Every Easter, the Lord will take me to hell. Not my choice. He wants to do it. And I don't like it.
Oh, where's the rest? Here it is.
Dark encounters. Yeah, I've seen a lot of demons. There was one time, every Easter, the Lord will take me to hell. Not my choice. He wants to do it.
Repeat a little here.
And I don't like it. There was one point where we go into this cave where we are seeing, I'm with the angel of the Lord with me at this time, but I'm seeing these different, like, they're like these egg sacks, these eggs. It was gross. And there were these two demons that were together and they were twisted and they were spinning in the air and they were rotating. And then I said, ugh, I said, that is horrible.
Now, I just want to pause for a second and make sure you guys know. I mean, you see all the cuts that I've got going on here? I have not edited deceptively. I've not left stuff out. Sometimes he'll just pause. He'll say, and then what happened? You know, I'm not deleting anything substantive or important in that regard. So, so I lost my place. Let me find that clip again. This will just take a second.
Dark encounters. I've seen a lot of demons. There was one time, every Easter, the Lord will take me.
I'll skip ahead.
And then I said, ugh. I said, that is horrible. What is that? And so the angel said, these demons are mocking intercourse. And they're creating lesser spirits to increase their movement of lust in the earth. And these demons.
they are making babies, and they're lust demons that will go into the earth and create lust problems, which is why the lust issue is so bad. That's his teaching here. Angels and demons both sleeping with each other and making babies. That's Micah's revelation from God.
Babies begin to hatch, you know, and they begin to crawl out, and they were very like deformed and ugly. But these two other two higher ranking ones were just spinning in the air, and they were creating that system that those lesser demonic beings. And I said, oh my gosh, I said, Lord, that is so gross. That is so nasty. That was gross. That was nasty.
Sounds gross.
It was very gross.
It was gross. Yes, it was gross. It was a vision of your own mind, a perverse vision of your own mind. Bottom line. Now, one thing I found that I thought was very helpful as I was assessing Micah Turnbow's content is him actually telling the same story twice and doing it in ways that could not both be true. Now, that means if there's specific details of a story that are clearly in contradiction from one telling of a story to another, then this proves that the story did not happen. Like, it certainly did not happen the way that you're saying, and it proves that you are willing, either you're willing to make stuff up in the moment, change your stories and make them up to suit the moment, or you actually don't even know what really happened because you have some sort of mental issue about telling your own stories. I don't know. It's an issue. Here's the first yogurt story. Pay attention to the details. He's already eating yogurt in the house when the angel arrives, that he goes to get the angel a spoon because it doesn't have one. And then he asks the angel for some sort of special word. And the angel says, nope, I just wanted to try your yogurt, and flies away. Three elements you want to keep noticing.
And do angels eat from the tree of life still?
That's a good question. I know they eat. I have not seen them eat from the tree of life.
But they'll just be eaten. You can see them and they're just eating.
Yeah, they'll eat their own
food. What are they eating?
I'll just say this. There is a substance that is like meat, you know, that they'll eat. I mean, I'm eating yogurt one time in my apartment, just eating yogurt because I loved yogurt. And
sure. Yeah, who doesn't?
An angel flies into my apartment because they like to come around me because I'll talk to them, say hi, we, you know, hang out.
So the angel, I paused it. The angel flies into his apartment. He's already there eating yogurt. Why? Because angels like to hang out with him.
They flew into the into my apartment, and he said, I want to try that. So I got him a spoon.
So he gets up and he goes and gets him a spoon from the kitchen, comes back.
Both ate some of my yogurt. You know, so cool. And I asked him, I said, do you have anything unique to say? Or he said, no, I just want to try your yogurt. And he just flew out to wherever he needed to go.
Okay, last element, nothing to say. Do you have anything unique to say? Is there a lesson? Is there a message? Does this yogurt mean something to you? Does you eating it symbolize something? Nope, nothing. Here's him telling the same story to a different group. And there's even a third time where he says, one time I had yogurt with an angel. So we know there's only one time that happened. But here's that other story in another interview.
I've had one time where we would live next to a Kroger, and I would just walk there, you know, and talk to the Lord and you know, pray and all that stuff. But I'm walking there and I'm just going to get a snack. And so I get, I'm going to the yogurt aisle. And as I'm going to the yogurt aisle, I see this, you know, angel kind of just flies into the building. You know, some angels just swoop in on the wind and they just kind of, and so I'm getting my business, getting my yogurt.
So he's getting his yogurt. And the angel comes to the Kroger, where this grocery store where he's buying the yogurt, not his room.
And then the angel says, oh, you should get the lemon yogurt flavor. And I said, and me being like, sometimes I'm like, okay, there is a message in this. There's a message. That's why could I be, I'm thinking. And then I talk on.
So again, the concept of, is there a message in this, comes up in this version of the story too. We'll find out if there was a message or not. So the angel even tells him what kind of yogurt he wants, but listen to what happens next. This relates to the fact that in the first version of the story, he goes to get the angel a spoon. Where? In his apartment. The angel shows up, has no spoon. He goes and gets it a spoon. And of course, my theory is there is no spoon.
I remember and I said, why? And then the angel, literally, the angel pulls out a spoon and he said, I want to try some. So I said,
literally, the angel pulls out a spoon at the grocery store and says, I want to try some. This completely contradicts his other version of the story.
Okay.
All right.
That sounds good. So we go back to my apartment, and I have my own spoon, and he has his spoon.
So we go back to my apartment. So the angel traveled with him back to the apartment. The angel didn't show up when he was already in the apartment. That's another discrepancy, shall we say, evidence that you are making stuff up.
And then he's waiting for me to open it. And so I open up the lid, and then he takes his spoon, and he just starts eating it. The yogurt, and I'm eating it, and I'm thinking, this is the strangest, most hilarious encounter I've ever had. And so I'm waiting for a message for this guy. I'm literally waiting for a message. Uh-huh. And after we finish, I said, so is there anything you want to tell me? And then he looks at me, and then he said, hey, this is what it's like to also entertain angels unaware. And yeah. I said, oh. And that was a whole new meaning.
A whole new meaning. So suddenly he has a message from the angel that was like, this was a demonstration of what it's like to entertain angels unaware. And he goes, wow, now I have a whole new understanding of scripture. There's a verse in the Bible that I understand in a whole new way because of this great meeting. Whereas before, when he says, do you have a word? And the angel goes, no, I just wanted to try your yogurt. So from already eating the yogurt in the house to meeting the angel at Kroger, having the angel come into the house versus in the second story, the angel came into Kroger and went with him to the house. So they went together. The angel has to be given a spoon in the first version. In the second version, the angel has his own spoon and uses it to show him, literally pulls a spoon out and says, I got my own spoon, which same spoon he used to eat from. The angel teaches him a big lesson in the second version of the story. There's no lesson in the first version of the story. What does this mean? Micah Turnbow is a deceiver. Micah Turnbow is a fake prophet, a false prophet, if that term has any relevance here. He is a man who is at best highly delusional, who has some very creepy imaginations about Jesus and his relationship with Jesus that go beyond agape kind of godly love and into some very strange territory that I say strange as a euphemism for inappropriate and seemingly homosexual territory. This stuff is not okay. He is a pastor at a Vineyard church. I'm surprised because I don't usually expect to hear stuff like that at Vineyards. And maybe by the time you've seen this video, they have already dealt with this. Okay. I don't want to cast like long standing judgment about this in their church. Maybe they've already addressed it and dealt with it. I brought up a bunch of this stuff in a conversation with his pastor and his lead pastor, and he's thinking about it, and they're going to, I haven't heard back. Okay. They were open. They had a very gracious conversation, the two of us, and I treat him as a brother, of course. And he did the same with me, and I hope it goes well. But because Micah, and this is important here, because Micah has a worldwide reach, it's important that it can be addressed. And because I believe that highlighting these specific issues that I've shown in Micah's videos will, I think, equip you, I really believe it will, to think biblically about the visions and dreams and fanciful stories that you hear from people like Brian Simmons or people like Mike Bickle or others, like in the Bethel movement, unfortunately, sadly, okay, where there's many real believers in those movements, but there's many deceptive leaders in those movements too. And I'll be making more videos about that in the coming months. I appreciate your patience as I do so. My prayer is that the Lord would restore discernment into the church, and that means it's obvious to all of us that someone like Micah Turnbow is not a real prophet.